Hey everybody, welcome to Hard Reboot. I'm Alan.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Jake.
And today we are diving back into one of our continued universes, and that is the superheroes that we established last December.
Woohoo! Yeah. Last episode we asked, hey, if you don't like this, or if you have any like, you know, any suggestions of how you'd like it to see it handled, let us know. And as far as I know, we got nothing, so we're just doing it the way we want.
Yeah, I think one person was like, oh, they're fine. So,
hey, we'll take it.
That's the permission I need.
That's our new slogan, Hard Reboot. Yeah, they're fine.
Yep. So let's dive in a little bit and talk about the League of Friends Who Do Justice Together.
Not the name.
A.K.A. Conclave.
Conclave is the name.
Conclave is very good.
The legally agreed upon name.
Yes.
The leader being Moon Girl.
Yep. I should have listened to the Moon Girl episode, but I know Matt's audio was wonky during that, and I didn't know if I wanted to put myself through it.
It'll probably hurt. I need to just transcribe it, but whatever.
So I'm very excited that Moon Girl is the leader. I really like that we have a female leader. Then we also have Phantom Sphinx.
Yes.
I thought you were just going to list them all. I didn't know you were looking for some feedback during them. Yes, we do. You're right. Got it so far, Alan? Yes. Alan, so far, batting 100.
There
1,000?
We go.
Which one's
correct.
Better?
Yes.
We have The Flame, not Flame Girl, but The Flame.
I like
Liberty.
Her.
Not
really
Lady Liberty.
Liberty.
Oh, God.
Doll Man. Miss Fury. And Nature Boy, the last demigod.
Okay, so Doll Man grew on me a lot more.
Hey, Matt, I'm gonna call the police on that pun if it was on purpose.
It wasn't. I really wish I was awake enough to claim it, but no, that was accidental.
Okay, that's
very
that's,
good.
That's not pun murder. That's pun manslaughter. Then, and you get off with a warning.
The podcast police are coming after me. It's okay. At least I don't listen to it at a weird speed increment.
I don't want to get on my soapbox, but like, do you watch movies at 1.5 times speed? No, you don't. That's
anyway.
Stupid.
Listener, you do you. Just leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes.
Yeah. That's all that matters.
Snapple Podcast.
Yeah. So, okay. Doll Man is, I think, a lot better than I thought he was last year.
Okay.
And I still do not for the life of me remember who Miss Fury is, but Liberty is a precious angel that I will die for.
Liberty rules school. Here's the thing
about...
So does
Miss Fury. I really like kind of the story we weaved for her.
Here's the thing about Miss Fury. I re-listened to our episode. I think we all did. For once in our life, we all did homework.
We did a prepare?
This is going to be the only 3 months of the year where we do that ever, listener. Sorry.
Literally, that's it. I recently on the Cool Kids table, not to cross promote, but I DM'd, I'm DMing the arc after this one, and I literally went in with one word written down and did an entire episode, and the only note I had was, trains?
It was very good, though.
And that was it. I think it came out pretty good. Anyway. So we re-listened to it. I cannot remember anything we talked about Miss Fury about. I don't think we said anything, but let's get rid of the racism and the sexism.
Well, the thing I liked about Miss Fury was one of the things I had brought up was that she was very popular as a paper doll where, like, she would have different costumes and stuff.
Right.
So she was very much kind of the spy and the infiltrator.
Okay.
So she has that aspect to her.
I forgot all about that. And I was going to pitch this year, what if she's the Hulk?
wait, was she the one that had like the jaguar skin that was supposed to be magic originally?
Yeah. Her uncle like stole a panther skin, probably some, you know, heirloom
relic.
Relic of some tribe in Africa, and this white dude just walked in and stole it. And then she's like, I don't want to wear the same thing at a party that this other girl's wearing, because, you know, it was the 40s. And so she's like, you know, it would be less embarrassing if I wear this traditional ceremonial panther skin that my uncle stole. And then that gave her powers?
Superpower? Question mark?
But it was also powers that came at a cost. And that was another thing that we had talked about with her, is that if she actually were to use powers, like, besides being just stinking wealthy and, you know, a super spy.
Good at spying. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if she used her powers, like, it was the, she would bring bad luck or bad things twice fold onto her for everything she used the magic for.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a massive deviation from where we're going to go with this episode, but I need to make sure this makes it on air so we can listen to it again later. At some point in her independent, like, solo comic, the heir to whoever her uncle stole this from is going to come looking for it, right?
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I want it to be this, like, big... Okay, we've all seen The Fifth Element, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know how in The Fifth Element, Bruce Willis and Gary Oldman never meet each other? Like, never. The hero, yes, and the villain never, yeah, ever meet? I want it to be that kind of build, because it always feels like these two are going to come to a head, and this guy is chasing this one, and this one is accidentally running away from this one, and it's going to come to this head, and it's going to be this big, big thing. And I want them to actually come to a head and her to go, oh, yeah, you should definitely take this back.
Like, I was about to say, I don't want this person painted as a villain at all.
They come in, like, primed for a fight, and she's just like, nah, go ahead.
I want it to be a villain build. Like, they don't actually do anything villainous, but it is just, like, it feels sinister.
The,
like,
antagonist.
I'm coming to kill, to get what, yeah, I'm owed, what's from mine, from Miss, yeah, Fury. Like, what's mine? And, like, you just paint them as, like, the villain, and it's just they want their suit back, and then as soon as they get there, she's like, this is literally a bad luck machine. It's not even worth it. Like, and also, it's stolen, so you can have it back.
And then that person could even join the conclave.
That's, yeah, what then, I was about to say. Is that where he's just like, oh.
Thank you.
Well, maybe it works right for me. Can I just help y'all?
Well, because it only can work for shamans. And if this person is a shaman, then the skin will actually work correctly.
Yeah. They know how
to the power. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They are, like, attuned to it in some way, be it, you know, genetics or destiny or whatnot. But, like, it's theirs by rights, and therefore they can use it.
White dude just stole it.
Yeah, like he was, like, coming through, and they were like, oh, who's this new guy? Because, like, you know, back in the – I've read a couple books. I could finish the sentence there. I've read a couple books about – okay, I'm glad I tickled Matt. About, like, the exploration age, when people were like, hey, where is shit? I don't know. Let's go. And there's just, like, it's mostly just a bunch of white people like, let's go conquer. Let's go, you know.
This unclaimed relic. And it's belongs to
hey, super duper ours. And they're like, I don't think so. I think it's an unclaimed relic and it's ours now.
I think that's going to live in my museum for a century and a half.
There's a book called Explorers of the Nile. And they were trying to find the source of the Nile River, and it just went the wrongest it possibly could. And it's a really good book. It's by Tim Geal, Jeal. But it's really good. It's basically like, hey, they did get their comeuppance eventually.
Well, I mean, you see that a lot in American history, too. Like, the First Tribes people, there's a lot of stuff that rightfully belong to us, to the tribes, that are in museums and things.
Oh, yeah.
And now, to be fair, this is one yay us moment. The government is starting to give those things back. They are starting to return the cultural relics. But at this point, I mean, to put it in perspective, I'm of the Porch Creek Indian tribe, and the Creek Indians, we basically had Florida, Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, part of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we went down to right about one or two counties in the state of Alabama.
That line from Pocahontas where the chief just goes,
these white people are dangerous, yeah.
It's the truest line ever written in a movie.
Yeah, it is. But anyways, off of that, that's our conclave.
I love Miss Fury now. I'm glad we remember her.
The reason she's called Miss Fury has got to be a reason behind it. And I want it. Has anyone seen referencing a bunch of shit right now. Has anyone seen Atomic Blonde?
Yes.
No.
It's a spy movie with Charlize Theron.
Have me sold.
It's really good. Apparently, Charlize was actually hitting most of her stuntmen, which is a really shitty thing to do. And hey, don't do that. But, like,
It is a brutal flick.
It's a real brutal movie. I want her to be kind of a spy like that. Like, she'll be like the cool spy, but then, like, you know, when she needs to, she will absolutely ruckus some fools. And I want her to have like a terrible anger problem, like a really long fuse, but once it goes off, there is like no stopping her.
Is Miss Fury just the name like her training buddy at Quantico or something?
Yeah, like her, like some teacher that her dad got her to, like, for self-defense or whatever, or like her fencing teacher or some shit like that. It's just like, oh, you are too angry. You're Miss Fury. And then that stuck. Yes.
So I almost see this as a Lara Croft meets Batman meets Black Widow.
A little bit, yeah.
I definitely think, like, the newer Lara Croft, like, from the Bethesda games.
Those games are so good.
I think the movie Lara Croft is the one we should go with.
I also, those are my guiltiest of guilty pleasure movies.
Fucking love the movies, the Tomb Raider movies. Haven't seen new one.
I love that she's riding side saddle on this beautiful white horse while shooting targets with a sawed-off shotgun.
2000 are a wild time for movies.
Yep.
But yeah, what were we saying, Matt?
No, I think those are all great touchstones. Like, listen, especially in a comic book thing, having anyone that's like, oh, I'm an XB of Batman and Black Widow, everyone's gonna go, oh, got it.
Yeah, I got you. Like, yeah. Like, it doesn't need to be like anything like them, but it's something that you can just be like, you know, kind of like these people that you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. It's like their shorthand, especially for superhero comics. Like,
yeah,
I think so, it really helps.
Do you think it would be helpful if we go down the list and we do that for all of the members of Conclave?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I don't
briefly,
see why not.
Because we did that last year. Let's do it again. Because I remember Dollman's kind of our Ant-Man, the Atom.
Right. Yeah. Moon Girl is our Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Phantom Sphinx is our Thor.
Thor, yeah.
Yeah.
Who was our Mystic guy?
That was
Nature Boy?
Nature Boy was... I know we got to Nature Boy and I almost called him King Sphinx. That's a fucking Power Ranger monster. And Phantom
Sphinx.
That's
a good Power Rangers monster.
It's one of my faves. He's only in one episode, but like...
Such a good design.
He was most of the toys. They have like a little bit of like overlapping powers that we wanted to like... clean up down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, but like I picture, I keep wanting to call him Erutan again because of Power Rangers, Nature Boy as like a street level Thor, if that makes any sense.
Well, Nature Boy is super new, right?
Yeah,
like he's just barely made the cut to be not in the Teen Titans that we make.
Yeah, I feel right. Like he's like so powerful that like we got to get you on the team, even though he's like, I started 5 days ago. Like,
he's basically Shazam, except not a 13-year-old.
Yeah, okay,
in a grown-up
that's
body.
That's much better than Thor. He's our Shazam. He's Thor, Shazam. But we also have a Shazam. Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
The Flame is our. Not Cute. Johnny Storm, but Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
Like, not personality-wise, but powers-wise.
Yeah. It's just kind of that. That's probably also kind of our analog to our Flash. Maybe a little
Ooh,
bit.
What about Firestar? Firestar?
I mean, that's a character, yes.
From Spider-Man
from
and His Amazing Friends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the one who's a horse that Emma Frost set on fire.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't Emma's fault.
Emma literally did it.
It wasn't her fault. Don't make me sick Leah Williams on you.
Anyways, Liberty, which was going to be kind of our Iron Man.
I want to take a minute and ish. Like, yes, Iron Man.
Yeah.
But can we just say, because she's fucking amazing, Riri
Williams.
I think
Liberty might be the best thing we've ever done on this show.
Yes, Riri Williams, Ironheart.
Yeah, yeah. Just because she's there and we should acknowledge that because she's amazing and no one talks about her.
I have not read any of her comics, but I've heard
she's really cool.
Some good things.
Her, Ms. Marvel, and oh, fuck, who was it?
Does she and Shuri
Girl
like,
need to
hang
have
out?
A team.
Mm.
They ought to. They should be best friends. Yeah, no, Liberty is incredible, and I love her. Like, she is up there in some of my all-time favorite things we've done, Jake.
Yeah,
right.
So to recap Liberty, she's Iron Man. If her Iron Man, her, like, exoskeleton suit is Statue of Liberty and, like, America-themed and has, like, vague America. I don't want to say powers, but like the weapons and all that, like, are kind of like
themed.
They're yeah. America themed. And her big cool thing is that she hops in the Statue of Liberty, pilots it like a mech, and it rules.
You know that that popular movie Ghostbusters 2?
Yeah,
like that, but we'll never ever talk about it.
That movie is 7 days older than I am.
the other fun thing about Liberty that I loved and that I latched onto was that her story that she tells people is she fell asleep on the ferry out to the Statue of Liberty and dreamed that the Statue of Liberty was like, here, do all this shit for me. You got it.
Yep, and you are my representative. Have fun.
Here's the thing. I think we should never confirm one way or the other whether that's real or not.
Oh, 100%.
Like,
I think every time that story gets told, a detail has to change every time.
Yeah, it's like the core thing is the Statue of Liberty came to me in a dream and gave me superpowers in the form of an exoskeleton.
I also kind of want her to be like a history nerd. Like, she loves the Revolutionary War period. She's really into Hamilton.
Is in the 1950s, right?
I don't know, actually.
I don't actually know if we ever... The characters are all from then.
Yes, yeah. But I don't think we ever set our show.
It is. Well, it's a comic book. These are comics.
Our books. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Here's the thing, though. It is, because they're put together by Moon Girl, who is explicitly in an alternate 1950s.
Yeah, when did we set that game? Was it in the 50s?
I
didn't listen to that episode, and now I'm kicking myself.
Was it? It was set in like a weird 1950s that was also kind of like, we're not going to nail it down because she might have a cell phone and can Google.
Yeah, so that's kind of the same thing. It's like how in like Fallout,
Fallout, yeah.
It's like the 50s, but there's
Fallout,
robots.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen type situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that aesthetic, but also, like, whatever tech you need is there. Don't
but
worry
like,
about
yeah,
it.
Like, maybe there's elevators.
Well,
yeah.
And the reason that we have that is because of Atlas the Traveler.
Yay, Atlas. I love that.
Sinbad's boyfriend.
Sinbad's boyfriend.
Hey, we've done a Sinbad episode since then. Why did we not remember to put him in there?
Matt, I don't know if I've ever explained to you how I operate when I do podcasts.
And it
that
just
is
flushes.
If I have to edit them, I remember things. Like, as soon as we're done recording, I forget it. I remember it while we're editing, and some of that stuff might stick. If I don't edit it, as soon as I'm done recording, it's gone from my brain.
I mean, listen, fair. I said that because it would have been very fun, but also, I don't know that we need that Sinbad to be tied into this world, so that's fine.
No, I don't think so. That is also a video game.
Yeah, that would be easier to shop that game idea around to people if it's not got baggage tied to it. So.
Hey. How many episodes would it take to us to get to 100 episodes?
This is episode 22.
Like 9, right? Like, we'd be in our 9th year.
Something like that.
Somewhere around there.
Maybe
episode 100 should be the hard reboot shared universe theory. And we just try to make as many connections to all the shit we've done at that point.
Jake Mason just proposed an ultimate crossover.
I did.
I agree.
I did.
We're doing that.
Hard
it's
agree.
On the books. We'll be
Hard
back
agree.
In. We'll be back in 78 episodes for that.
Yeah. See you in a grip.
So now that we have Conclave assembled, let's talk a little bit about the first arc of Conclave. So. My idea is first issue is getting the band together. It's Moon Girl approaching these various heroes, bringing them together for the purpose of solving a murder whose MO used to be that of a hero.
Okay.
In Yankee Eagle.
I immediately have questions.
Okay. I might have an answer because I just, like, as Alan was saying that, a thing clicked.
Okay,
for why
say
it works.
Say your thing, and then we'll dig in.
Because I think, is your question, why would she assemble superheroes to solve a murder?
Yes. That's my first question.
Because it might be Yankee Eagle, a former superhero, and and you don't want to send regular people out on that
just
job.
Die.
Yeah.
So I guess my actual question is the first issue, like, several of these superheroes kind of converging on this murder because they've all received, like, anonymous tips, like, probably from Atlas, but, like, independent of each other?
I think a little bit of it I definitely want Atlas to go to Moon Girl and be like, hey, some bad stuff is happening and you're going to need to put together a team. And her be like, what do you mean? And then he's gone. Like, she turns around and he's gone. And then the next day, because she's her girlfriend is a reporter.
Yes,
her friend
I believe
is a reporter.
So.
It was girlfriend. it was her sidekick, but now it's like girlfriend was kind also, of a Gal Friday, but we
gal,
changed that.
Gal Friday slash yeah. Gal Pal, just yeah. just gals being pals, and because mm-hmm. then she's also there's also that
that
there's
dink.
That what's his name?
We made him a dink in the game.
Yeah, we made him a dink, but like there's that kind of like Spider-Man, like how Peter Parker's dating Mary Jane and Spider-Man's mm-hmm. kind of dating Black Cat, like it's yeah. sort of like that a little bit. But so, like, she has connections with the paper, and, like, the next day it's going to be like, hey, I don't know, like, does she know that she's Moon Girl? Probably not, right?
I mean, I don't know that we addressed that, but...
I don't think we have.
One way or the other, she'd be like, you know Moon Girl, or you are Moon Girl. Here's the thing that I don't want to put in the paper, because it's really troubling, and it's former superhero Yankee Eagles calling card, but on a dead body that did not need to be murdered.
Yeah.
You know.
So the person being murdered or ooh, persons, yes. I'm thinking members of the UN Security Council.
I like that because that gives us an easy in to have Undersea be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. part of
oh,
that
I forgot
acronym
about
is
Undersea.
UN.
Yes, the it's United Nations tough. Department of Experiment and Research Systems established at Atlantis.
Oh yes, with Davy Jones.
I the love agent. That.
And
but
TNT
I...
Todd Nathan Taylor.
Yep. He's our FBI go-to guy, yeah.
Yeah.
I love all that, and I hate it because it's stupid. It's well, the best kind of stupid.
The other thing that I like about doing the UN Security Council is that it's automatically an international problem, and yeah. our heroes are international.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We might have to assign some nationalities to them, but yes.
Well, I mean, we can, you know, Phantom Sphinx is Egyptian.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Got that.
I think Moon Girl is American? Or is she British?
No, she's Moon definitely Girl? American.
Yeah, Moon Girl
I see
is
Miss,
American.
I
yeah.
see Miss Fury as British.
Sure. I don't...
Because I like the idea of this posh English lady who also has this super temper and is an awesome person.
Yeah.
If we're basing her off of Lara Croft, English is kind of right there.
I mean, yeah, she's like Lara Croft and James Bond. I get it.
Wait, guys. What if she's Irish, though?
I was going to say, what if she's French?
Ooh,
French is
I like
also
that.
Good.
Because, like maybe like her... Because this is 1950, right? So yeah. we're just after, you know... Well, not the 1950, oh. the 1950s. So,
is
like,
she's
kid dev-
of... Did her parents
absolutely.
Die doing stuff in the war? Like,
yeah, they were resistance? Absolutely French resistance, like 100%. And that's why she is like, A, so angry, and B, so good at doing all this stuff.
I have the answer. So
okay.
We talked about this in some other, I think in one of our Lovecraft, our Verncraft things. We did a kind of similar idea that I'm going to pocket again. So
yeah, it was our...
Yeah, the
invasion
buff American
of the sea.
Dude and
yeah, yeah,
yeah. But this time, what if just like an Irish guy was stranded behind lines, married a French woman? They're like, well, we're gonna blow some shit up.
Yeah. So she's Irish and French.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, no, I like that.
But I also like that for Flame.
Yeah.
No, ooh. I see. I
with pyrotechnics. I like the pyrotechnics piece.
I don't think she needs to have a pyrotechnics background to get superpowers from a guy with flame powers, you know?
No. True.
And also, I picture everybody else as American.
Because
they're all American
have,
comics.
I actually have a different answer for Nature Boy. I like him being Italian because his god, like, he is supported by the Roman pantheon.
I'm fine with that, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
But... Liberty is obviously American.
Yeah, as apple pie.
Which
and
just
she's a
leaves
girl
us
from
with
the Bronx.
Which just leaves us with the Flame and Doll Man. I'd like maybe for the Flame to be Spanish.
I don't like everyone. I don't like this like
international
like Justice League International. Everyone's from a different country thing because like it all kind of it's got to take place in America, right? Isn't that where like Moon Girl's based?
Yes, But again,
and Yankee Eagle is definitely American, so like he'd definitely be doing crimes in America.
I also think, Alan,
I feel like.
I like the idea behind this, that we're trying to get more multicultural. I like that, and diversified.
You get all that in America.
I also think we don't need to shoehorn things in. This is going to be something that grows. We can find more natural fits down the line for things. So I think it's fine if we end up with like Liberty, Moon Girl, Flame and Doll Man all from the U.S. I think that's fine for the first go.
Because it's gimmicky, you know? It's really gimmicky if it's like everyone's from a different country and they all come together for...
I wasn't going to do everyone being from a different country. For some reason, I like the Flame being Spanish or Latinx.
I mean, she can still be of that descent.
She can still be that. That's the cool thing about America, is that everybody's here.
True.
You know? Without it being weird paint-by-numbers, like, I don't know.
Honestly, like, the only one that we need to, like, even just have, like, a casual reason to have him be over here is Nature Boy. Because presumably, Miss Fury is probably going to be called in when her member of the UN Security Council is murdered.
Yeah.
Right.
So Nature Boy's probably just like an exchange student over here, or an international student at a university.
I don't even know if, I mean, he can actually be like in Italy from Italy, because like if his power, like if he like shows up and has like this amount of power, like they're gonna send someone over to be like, hey buddy, you're on our side, right? And also, you wanna join? Can I get you to sign this paper so you be our friend?
Is that how we're introduced to him and Miss Fury? Is that she's the one talking to him on behalf of Undersea?
Yeah, I think maybe.
And then, like, as she's talking to him, kind of like how Black Widow recruited the Hulk in the first Avengers. Like, while they're talking to him, uh-oh, big murder happened. Hey, you're coming with me, buddy. We're on the job now.
Yeah. I like that a lot better, because, like, it makes it feel like there is a reason why these people from not America are dealing with this.
Yeah.
American problem. Because even if he's killing UN security members, like, that's definitely an American problem.
Well, then that begs another question for me. Is Atlantis sovereign? Well, obviously it's sovereign, but is it a part of the UN? Is it a part of the global culture? Do you know what I mean?
I think it's definitely part of the UN. I don't know how widely it's known.
I think it should be hidden. Like, it's because it's Atlantis, right? Like, if you go, oh, BT Dubs, we have some agents in Atlantis, we've got an Atlantis bureau, nobody panic. People are going to be like, we are going to panic, though, just for a minute, because you said Atlantis is real and that we own it.
But we have issue. How fast may we go to war over this?
Yeah, I like it being a secret, but like maybe, you know.
Still a global player, but in the shadows.
Yeah. Yeah, like they're kind of like, I'm trying to think of a good...
Kind of like Wakanda?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a pretty good
comparison.
Yeah, I think so. But the thing is, with Atlantis, isn't it like, that's just where our base, like the base is? Like, isn't it like it's an American, like not American, but like it is a like...
It's a research base, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like Atlantis, the country and the
people.
Yeah,
this Atlantis was a research facility on the seafloor built on a portion of the sunken continent and run by its founder, Professor Weston.
Yeah, that guy definitely sounds like he's not from Atlantis.
Yeah. Well, okay, there was an issue, and I don't remember, because again, listeners, we didn't go back and listen to the Moon Girl episode like we probably could have.
We definitely should have.
In last year's, we talked about the idea that maybe Atlanteans were real and that they might have been villains in Moon Girl, and I didn't go back and back-check that.
Oh, we absolutely did, didn't we?
And I still don't remember if that's real or not, because it's slowly becoming canon now. so what I'm thinking is, what if there's something where it's like they found ruins down there and they're like, well, this is clearly Atlantis, so we're going to build a base here.
Yeah, we're going to study it, and then we're also going to do our international ops here.
And okay, then someone cool. else so is it like, is an hey, American cool. outpost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, or a UN outpost. I feel like it's probably like Antarctica kind of deal. Like everyone has a claim on it.
Yeah.
So that no one has a claim on it.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Which also,
I like,
it makes
I like
a good
that.
Neutral ground. Like maybe there's something there that's Yankee Eagles endgame. Because okay. It's like, well, this is the fallback point. It's very hard to get Miles underwater.
Yeah, right. Like my immediate knee jerk reaction is like Yankee Eagle is a descendant of Atlantis, but I don't like that.
No.
No.
He's just like an evil pissed off Cap.
Yeah.
And I think I just want it to be he kind of snapped.
Yeah, it's like we mentioned this last year, Irredeemable.
Yeah, he's like if Irredeemable happened to Captain America instead of Superman. Instead of
Superman, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, if you still haven't read those books, go do it. They're good.
They're very good. It's Mark Waid. I don't remember the artist. I know there's a couple, but Peter Krause?
I think.
I think it's something Krause. I don't know if it's Peter Krause because that is also the name of an actor, but it might be. Either way, they're really good. They have a lot of good superhero stuff going on in that one.
Yeah, they do.
I had another thing I was going to say about Yankee Eagle. We talked about like dimension hopping, and we kind of skirted away from that. But what if
the idea had been? I think at one point we had mentioned kind of like Jet Li's The One kind of deal, where some other Yankee Eagle came and murdered our Yankee Eagle.
Yankee Eagle. You called him Yankee Evil the first
time. I did. Alan cursed me. So that's the one.
What if instead we do that backwards? What if we find the body of Yankee Eagle with Yankee Eagle's calling card on it, and we think, oh, maybe the villain is a Yankee Eagle from another universe where he's bad, and then it turns out, no, this was a Yankee Eagle from a universe where he stayed good and came to try to stop this one and was killed.
I like that.
And that's maybe...
That's a good mid-issue pivot down the line.
Three or four-ish.
Yeah, issue three.
Yeah.
But I like the idea, too, that like the good Yankee Eagle that came here gave this version of Yankee Eagle a piece of information. And they're like, oh, okay, so that's what I need. Okay, thank you, and then kills them.
And kills them, yeah. He's like, you don't have to do this because of X. And he goes, oh, I'm going to do this explicitly because of X now.
Yeah, yeah, thanks, bye, you're dead.
Yeah.
Like, he's just too far gone. I like that a lot. Plus, that's a really good twist on what people will expect.
Yeah, because I think episode three, or issue three, because like, I always think of arcs as six issues, even though five is a little cleaner now. But like, yeah, six is like
the old standard. Yeah.
So like... that's the midpoint. Like the end of issue three, we find Yankee Eagle's dead body with Yankee Eagle's calling card on it, and they go, oh, it's someone doing Yankee Eagle's bit, but like, you know, they killed Yankee Eagle too. And then like the end of issue five.
Four or five, like, yeah.
That's when we find out, like, oh no, ours is still the bad one.
I like that because that lets us do the start of issue six from Yankee Eagle's point of view.
So here's also my thought. So maybe the way that they discover this is that they're like, oh, you know, it is the Yankee Eagle from a different dimension. But maybe Atlas has a way to determine, like, whether it's a device or some kind of sense of what belongs here and what doesn't. And that's how they're like, oh, no. Oh, no.
I think it's a combination of Atlas having some sense of what belongs in this reality, like just innately because of who and what he is.
Yeah.
But also I think it's that, and like he and Liberty probably work together on something, and Liberty's able to go like, yeah, no, that's from this universe. That's like three doors down to the left.
I feel like we can do kind of a parallel reveal here where like whoever is with the body, Atlas shows up and goes like, hey, that one's not from here. That's not ours. And then at the same time, you have like a number of our heroes, a number of, you know, not all of them, but like some of the Conclave, like confronting who they think is evil Yankee Eagle. And he's like, oh no, I'm from this one. Like that's, you know, so we have him reveal it at the same time we find out.
And maybe the way he does it is he like, I like the idea that he calls back to, because obviously Liberty and Yankee Eagle are going to work together.
Sure.
Like, he calls back to something that they did that only the real quote unquote Yankee Eagle would know.
No, I mean, because like, who's to say that didn't happen the same way in another universe? You know.
True.
Like, if it's just parallel, like all this could have happened, and like that's a real easy way to be like, oh, clearly you're this person because like you know from this thing, even if it is from another universe, it still happened. I think he should just straight up say like, nope, it's me. I just am sick of XYZ. Like, I just snapped. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, that's even worse because now there's not like an imposter. It just is you.
I also like the idea that this all kind of probably has to happen in Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like issue six is where like the shit hits the fan. So it's got to be there. Yeah.
And because one, you get that bonus of, well, this is where whatever MacGuffin is. And two, it limits that whole like Avengers problem where we're going to bulldoze part of New York.
Yes. Yeah, poor Ohio. Like,
I know that's going to happen. It's a trope. It has to happen, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. But we don't have to do it.
Yeah, we don't have to do it yet. We can let that happen when it needs to.
I guess the big thing we got to come to now is, why Yankee Eagle go bad? What happened?
Yeah, like, what happened and what's he after?
I think what I lean to is disillusionment.
It's got to be some pretty hardcore disillusionment to make, like, the ersatz Captain America go straight up evil, you know? Like, I'm on board with it, but it's got to be a kick-ass reason.
Well, my thought is, my thought is he learns something, not necessarily from, like, the other Yankee Eagle, but, like, he discovers something that the UN was trying to keep secret, or, you know, just this earth-shattering thing that maybe the readers never actually find out what it is. But he uses that as a justification for just kind of going off the rails.
I think it has to be tied more directly to a loss. And it could be something this easy. Like, let's give him almost a Batman story. He lost his family when he was young, or even when he was like a teen, and he got recruited maybe before they died to be in part of a super soldier program. But it took, like, their deaths were seen as a just random act of violence on the streets, which motivated him to be a hero. But what actually happened might have been something more nefarious. It's like, we need a lot of the contributing DNA that made you to make you a super soldier. So mom and dad gotta go.
I'm halfway between the two of you, I think.
Okay.
I like the idea of a disillusionment, but it does have to be worth it. You know, it has to be like huge, right? And I do like the idea that, like, he lost his you know, his parents or his family or whomever was killed, and that, like, motivated him to, like, join up and volunteer for the super soldier program. And, like, I like the idea that, like, this was orchestrated specifically to happen. Like, it's like in Batman Beyond, like, his dad is killed in order to, like, motivate him to become Bat. Like, they tried to manufacture a new Batman, essentially. And, like, that's kind of the deal with him. I like that idea, and I feel like that is one of the few things that is, like, big enough and personal enough
to make him snap
at the same time that would make him snap.
Because it almost made Terry McGinnis snap in Beyond. It was very good.
Yeah, and, like, unfortunately for Yankee Eagle, he does not have a Batman dad to be like, hey, you gotta cool it.
Like, well, he doesn't have a Bruce who can basically, like, verbally slap him upside the head.
Well, but what he does eventually get is another version of himself.
Yeah, but I mean, that's worse, right?
Yeah, but hear me out.
Yeah, okay.
So what if the other version of himself is like, no, you don't have to do this. There's a way to bring them back, and it's in Atlantis, and, you know, they've got this whole crazy thing, and you can do this, and it will be okay. Oh, cool, thanks. Kills them, and then goes to get his family back anyway, leaving a horrible, bloody swath behind him.
I have a modification for that, because I like where you're going with that. Let me pitch you a little twist. What if what they have is, it, again, like, have the parents tied to what the family, parents, whoever, tied to whatever makes him a superhero. And they have enough material left in Atlantis to either A, boost his power with another injection, or B, clone them and get them back.
Instead of parents, could it be a child?
No, I don't think. That seems cheap.
I don't want to fridge a kid, Alan.
Yeah.
And I know this isn't fridging, like, it's not just, but it kind of feels like fridging. And also, I don't know that it would work that way, like, in reverse.
I'm thinking timeline-wise, like...
Because he usually has to have been young, right?
He had to be young, yeah. True. Like, so, like, if he already had a kid, like, I don't know. I feel like it would kind of age him too much. It would age him out of the program, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, ooh. Yeah, I don't want to kill a kid to motivate a horrible murderer. Yeah. You know? Like, just doesn't feel right. What if instead of, like, I do like the idea that, like, there is a thing that can bring them back. And then, at the last minute, if it's the same thing that, like, also boosts his power, he's like, well, fuck it. I'm not going to win anyway. I might as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can kill everybody here. I like that. The only other thing I was thinking is, like, there's some sort of universal reset that Atlantis had cooked up where it's like,
ooh.
if you're in control of this, you can just like, you have a retcon machine, you know, like there's just a retcon machine. Like you go there, you can fuck with it however you want. And like, it'll put the pieces together. So you can be like, I'm still Yankee Eagle, but my parents didn't die. And it's like, all right, here's the universe where those two things are true.
I have an idea.
Interesting. Okay, so it's almost like a gateway to alternate realities.
I would say more it's a paradox-free, it's a time wish from Time Baby kind of deal from Gravity Falls. Paradox-free wish. So what if, and let's get weird with this.
Okay, it's Atlantis, so we can get weird, well, right? I feel like we have license to get weird in Atlantis.
It's also Atlas, so what if it's Aladdin's lamp?
No, I don't like that.
but it's not like, it's what became that legend. But it's an Atlantis tech. So you get a wish.
So I see where you're going. And I do like that maybe we can hint to it. Cause I'm a big fan of like, this legend has
it's the Assassin's Creed thing.
Yeah. Cause I love an Assassin's Creed. but I don't know if I necessarily want it to be a, are you guys familiar with the CRISPR, that like DNA resequencer?
No.
Mm-mm.
There's like this thing called the CRISPR and you can like resequence DNA with it and just like plug it back into things. And like, it's basically magic, but it's like this piece of tech that is a real thing. Hmm. It's called CRISPR-Cas9, I think.
It's probably used in genetic therapy.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to get to because like it's in like a really like infant phase right now. But what if it's like that, but for the universe? So it's like if you are in control of the thing, you go, here's what I want to be real. And it goes, all right, let me pluck from the alternate universes where those things are real. And I'm going to overwrite this one with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
So like, and it can look a little bit like a lamp if we want to be like, yeah, it's the, you know, the basis in reality, you know, even if that reality is comic book reality and there's an Atlantis, you know.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's going to look vaguely lamp like. You can make your own conclusions.
Yeah, do what you want from there.
Yeah.
So here comes the other question that I think is important here. Aside from all the murder.
There is a lot of murder, yeah.
If Yankee Eagle wins, how is this bad for the heroes?
At this does point, it, I...
Because here's my thought. So it does pluck, you know, those two things from alternate realities and plugs them in, but the reality has to reshape around that. So there's no telling what could happen. Who could be left? Who's going to die? It's essentially...
It's a flashpoint.
You're stopping this universe from existing and creating a new one where no one knew that another reality existed.
Yeah.
So you're essentially committing universal genocide. That's my thought.
That is one part of it. There, I think there's also another piece. In the most ideal situation, old school heroic Yankee Eagle is the one who makes the wish. This dude has murdered his way to this point.
Yeah, like there's no guarantee he's just going to, you know, undo mm-hmm. it. But also, I really like the idea that Yankee Eagle, who, as far as the comic is concerned, has only been a murderer, right? But everyone will talk about how, like, great he was, like, the mm-hmm. last great hero, right? So, like, they want to believe in that guy. And if he goes, no, you have to believe me. All it will do is fix this one thing, and everything will go back to being fine, and nothing else will be changed. And, like, he believes that, even if, like, no matter what his motivations are, right? Like, he yeah. believes that, like, it'll be fine. Because, like, all those people won't be dead anymore. Because I'm going to go back to before, like,
right.
I killed them. Like, I won't have killed them because my parents will be alive and that's what motivated my murder. Like, but I will also still be Yankee Eagle because that's what the thing does. It lets you make these paradoxes.
What if he wins? So, it is kind of Thanos snapping, but hear me out. The chamber.
Did you say snapping on purpose?
Yes, the snapping.
I'm so proud of you. It's better than the decimation. Fuck.
But anyways, maybe we could play it like this. Whoever is in the chamber when the wish is made remembers.
I want to reference a thing from our superhero game that we have played on Sundays occasionally. It's the Crucible.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically what that is. But it's anyone close enough to it might remember or will at least have, like, the possibility of remembering. My only problem is this is the first arc, and do we want it to end with
Guys,
an event comic?
What if it starts with one?
Now we're presupposing an entire other universe. I do like that idea a lot, but, like, I feel like there's a lot of groundwork that I don't know how to lay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's also maybe something that we could dig into and plant seeds to reveal later on that someone already used the device.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
Atlas used the device.
Oh, Atlas has used this device fucking all the time. He loves this thing.
There's a thing. Okay, there's a fun thing. Are y'all familiar with the SCP Foundation?
Yes.
Isn't that the horror thing where they keep all the monsters locked up?
It's a creepypasta wiki fan mm-hmm. community. It's very fun. Look it up. It's a ton of fun.
There's a lot of straight up unnerving things in there, but some of it is, like, fun. I guess I can categorize some of it as fun.
It tickles a lot of my lore bones sometimes.
Sure.
One of the things they have in there is basically a end of the world bunker. Like, if an end of the world scenario is about to happen, you can go here and you will be safe. The problem is there's a counter of how many times it's been used, and it's in the thousands now, and no one ever remembers using it. As far as anyone is concerned, it's never been used, but there's a counter that says otherwise.
Like, every time the door's been open or some shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I thought there, and I love that.
I do. Okay. All right. Let's hone in on this for just a second. Yeah. I do like the idea. I don't want to necessarily start with it. I don't want to start with that unless that is the thing that motivated. No, because Yankee Eagle wouldn't have known about it. Hold on. I'm all caught up in myself. Give me 1 second. Okay. So Yankee Eagle learns that his parents were killed to make him become a superhero. He snaps because, like, that's not the government he fought for, et cetera, right?
Right.
Yeah.
He goes through all this rigmarole. He finds out from an alternate universe traveling, because they're superheroes. They do it all the time.
Yes.
Version of him who's coming to stop him to be like, hey, you don't have to do this. You can just, like, you know, be fine. And, like, maybe even this alternate Yankee Eagle's like, hey, I learned the same thing and I didn't snap. And he goes, well, that's because you're weak, and, you know, and kills him. But, like, he knows about this Atlantis technology. I'm just going to call it the Crucible because I think it's a kick-ass name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He finds out about the Crucible. He's like, all right, I got to get there. He sets in, you know, he's got plans. Things are in motion. He ends up there. That's where the whole climax is, right?
Yeah.
He gets to the thing, and he's like, if I use it, then it gets fixed. And this is where we need to decide, like, does he win or does he lose? Because I think there's I actually think he needs to win, right?
I do too.
Like, okay. I think I've talked myself in a circle back to Alan's point that, like, yeah, maybe he should win, because then the people in the room will have these, like, memories of, like, hey, Yankee Eagle didn't kill a bunch of people. Not, like, necessarily like that, like, poorly written, obviously, but, like,
right.
Like, they have the ability to, like, pick at the veneer of this new world.
And, you know, maybe this is where we can also bring in Zero Ghost Detective and kind of the almost occulty side of things.
Okay.
Because...
Yeah.
Talking...
No, go ahead, Alan.
No, it's okay. But talking about, like, what fueled the Crucible and what happened, maybe that's a part of the power that the Ghost Detective taps into.
I want to keep it in that, like, so scientific it's magic, not, like, right. actual magic, because yeah. I like there being a distinction between the two. I like this being a thing that is on Zero's radar, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he's heard tell of Atlante technology that can, like, do crazy things like this, and, like, maybe there is some sort of common ancestor to the power source and, like, the magic that he uses. I don't know if we necessarily got too into his thing.
Oh, I just had an idea.
Okay.
So it's like you said, they all remember it, but it's almost like a dream, and they have the ability to pick at it. Except for Nature Boy, because the gods are unaffected by this.
So he just straight up remembers.
He remembers because the gods Ooh. Tell him.
Yes.
So is he now, is his role now?
He is now the Kitty Pride of Days of Future Past.
Well, what I'm thinking, Alan, is Nature Boy, kind of how we've built him, is he's the audience surrogate, right?
Right.
Yeah, because
the audience knows.
So now he's the watchdog to make sure that Yankee Eagle doesn't snap again, because he knows it's possible.
Because also, here's the other thing.
The audience knows.
Yankee Eagle still knows.
Yes, yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
Whoever uses the device knows.
Yeah. So, and I think this is, like, obviously, like, you know, arc 2, 3, 4, and 5, right, of, like, things being fine, except for Nature Boy always being like, I am watching you, dog. But I think down the line, this is a point I tried to make that we got caught up in other stuff, is he uses the device and something about it changes. Like, there is another titch mark in it that is so innocuous that if you are not specifically looking for it, you would not know.
Are you talking about kind of like what mean GMs use for Wish? So, like, if you leave something unsaid or you aren't hyper-specific enough, something else happens?
Well, it's the genie's lamp. It's a monkey's paw, right? Do you mean that some part of reality is changed?
No. I mean, like, on the actual Crucible device itself, there are 8 marks. And after they use it, there are 9. So, like, there are this has been we have overwritten X times.
Okay, I got you.
Or is it going the other way?
Oh, like we only got 10, you got 6 and you got
now
8
there's
left.
9. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a countdown, and Atlas is the one who's like, you need to stop him, and they're like, you didn't stop him. Okay, fuck. Well, now we're down to this.
And now he knows about it forever, and I am bound by some weird laws that I can't directly stop. I can't do anything about this because maybe I used it too many times.
I've abused it, so I cannot interact with it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's the fun part about Yankee Eagle. Now in this new timeline, we have a very good and heroic Yankee Eagle who also probably has a split personality that remembers being a brutal, murderous type.
Oh, no. It's not a split personality. It's like the same guy. It's like the guy who killed the UN people and activated the Crucible is just now like, oh, my parents are back and I still get to be Yankee Eagle and no one remembers. Aren't I lucky? Like, I get to go back to being a hero like I want.
So at what point in this story does he start indulging in that darkness a little bit?
But I have a thought. What if you can only use it once? That's why Atlas. Well, that's why Atlas can't use it.
Oh, that's why Atlas
again.
Couldn't use it.
That's why Yankee Eagle has to, if he wants to fix something again, he has to make someone else do it. And that's when the darkness can start coming out, is manipulating like, someone into, oh no, you need to do this, and oh, but wouldn't it be better if blah, and
the only problem with that. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Matt.
There's another aspect to it. I think I want to toss this out there. What if the Crucible is also kind of a Dragon Ball? So after you make your wish,
you need to give me something about that at all.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, once you make your wish, it has to either you have to reassemble it or let it recharge.
You have to refind it.
Yeah, you have to refind it.
After Atlas made his wish, he spent his time finding it and put it in Atlantis.
Okay, so it doesn't stay in Atlantis.
No, which means Yankee Eagle probably knows where it is. Like, I think if you make the wish, you know where it ends up. Because you can't use it again.
Right, so it doesn't matter.
So
Yankee Eagle
goes and gets it.
Right. Okay. I like that. And I like that you can only use it once, so like he would need to if he needs to do something. Yeah, he's gotta trick somebody. The only problem, and I say problem, I mean like not in-universe story problem for him that he doesn't know about, is that Eruten, I keep calling him Eruten because I was a kid on Power Rangers Turbo, Nature Boy, it's Nature backwards?
I was about to say, we could name him Eruten.
No, I hate that kid. He was so terrible. No,
I don't remember him.
Oh, it was a real bad episode. I mean, it had my favorite monster of Turbo, Litter Richard. I don't know what the monster's actual name is, but we named him Litter Richard.
I remember that episode. It was very good.
Yeah. Eruten sucks, though. But Nature Boy knows. So, like, he's like, okay, I'm 18. I'm 17. I'm a college kid hiking in the mountains who saved some gods or was saved by gods or maybe a little column A, a little column B. Yeah. So, like, now I got some gods watching over me. But, like, I'm young. Like, I'm open-minded. Like, yeah, you did kill a bunch of people, but they're not dead anymore. So, like, maybe I can look past it, you know? Like,
right.
maybe I'm willing to, like, forgive because, like, you did... You fixed one thing.
Was he a Yankee Eagle fanboy, maybe? Was he that kid?
I don't think so.
I don't like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like it should just be, like, you technically did nothing wrong because that universe is just buried under this one, but, like, those people are alive again. Everything is fine. Except asterisk, the Yankee Eagle from the other dimension, still totally dead.
Oh, very dead.
That's going to be a problem they need to deal with at some point.
Yeah.
But he's also got to be like, but I do know what you are capable of. So, like, I will play along, but only as long as you do.
And, of course, the 18-year-old kid is going to be an easy mark to start trying to manipulate into trying to find a thing and make a wish again.
Yeah. And I think he should, like,
I love that Nature Boy has become a lot more important.
Yeah. It's very good.
But like, this is like way down the line stuff. This is like, you know, issue 50 stuff where he's like, all right, Nature Boy, all you need to do is use the thing and change that one thing. And if you could also BTW just change this other thing, then like, that would be great, right? Like, because it's one thing that I need changed and, like, one thing you need changed. That would be perfect. And then Nature Boy goes, no, because I was there the last time you did it and I will not fall for that shit. Yeah. And then...
Or even better, he takes up to make the wish and just like, you know I remember everything, right? And then makes a wish and we don't see what happens for a while.
Yeah.
Or... I don't know how we could
make
this...
That's way down the line, though. We don't have to decide any of this right
but
now.
But I also like that it happens like in Rome and like oracle site. And that's how he's like, oh, I remember everything here. Let me show you the oracle. See that? That's you. Fuck you.
I like it being in Rome because like, where he's from.
Grounds.
But I also like that. Like it, that's not where it was. Like they were trying to find it. Somebody else found it. It got to Rome somehow. And he's
right.
Like, oh, BT Dubs. Like this is just thematic because it's a comic book. But like, I don't want him to show him his past because like he knows it. He just needs to literally be like, I obviously remember. Like, duh.
Screw you.
Yeah. But
I am the last demigod on Earth. I remember everything.
Here's the
Minerva doesn't let me forget anything.
Here's the one last thing I want to say about this, and it's like a plot hook going forward.
Love it.
So, because I really like where we have gotten to, and I'm very sad that we can't just make this fucking thing right now.
Right. And we are in an hour recording. So,
So here's just one last thing about the thing. Here's just like plot hooks, right? What's like a really important mystical scientific number? Is there like a really large number?
Avogadro's number?
There's plenty. We can choose one.
It's like just like a big, cool 3-digit number, right?
I'm sure there is.
That's how many times this thing has been used, right? Minus 9, you know, because now we're down to 9. I think that once you get the ability, because normally for however long, maybe not forever, however long, but like for most of the time, only one person is at the crucible fixing it.
Uh-huh.
Because that's, you know, who it works on immediately. Like that's like who does it. And so they find it themselves and they, you know, they do the thing they need to do. Because the rest of the conclave were there, they have the ability to pick at the veneer a little bit. And they don't necessarily need to do it for... sorry, there's a bunch of cop cars. They're coming to arrest me for this cool idea I have, I guess. like, they don't necessarily need to pick it Yankee Eagles because, like, that's going to be a thing later. Like, Eritan's got that covered. I keep calling him Eritan. I'm sorry. I'm just going to call his name is Nature Boy. I'm going to call him Eritan until he dies. He's got that covered. But maybe they can start to figure out the other 665 things that have, you know.
I was about to say 777 is probably.
Yeah, sure.
Lord.
Yeah, that sounds like
Jake, what did you do?
I did real good crimes, everybody. Man, actually, that sounds like a fire.
What did I tell you about setting all them fires?
It sounds like a fire truck. Actually, you know what? It was probably a car crash because it's raining and no one in Texas can drive in the rain.
It's about to freeze where I live. It's about to get real bad.
It looked like it was trying to here. I can only imagine what it's doing up there.
Yeah, it's been dipping right into freezing very, very much so here recently.
Yeah. So anyway, now that the crime seems to be gone. So there's 777 uses. They've used 760 whatever. I'm not going to do the math real quick. Yeah, that sure. Okay, fine. Show off. So that's how many times it's been used. Maybe they now have the ability to like kind of pick at things from before. And so, like, it's not necessarily their lifetimes. I think there should be, like, a lot with it, like, a surprising amount within their lifetimes or within, like, recent history that have, like, changed things. But maybe they can also go back, like, oh, like, a couple hundred years ago, it was a couple hundred years later, and their wish was that it was 100 years before. And, like, there's just so many weird things that people have overwritten with the Crucible that we now can kind of pick at and figure out, and like that's just, you know, story hook potential going forward.
Maybe that can be, that could be a separate comic. That could be like solving the ancient mysteries.
Is that Undersea? Is that the Undersea comic?
I think so.
Is trying to figure out you know who else can be in the room? Fucking TNT Todd.
Of course.
And Davy Jones.
Yeah.
And now their whole thing is like, oh, we got to figure out what else has been changed. Like, because maybe it was for the better. Maybe it wasn't. And we got to figure out why.
I dig that so much.
I dig it a lot, too. But we are pretty much out of time.
I think we did it.
I am very happy with our League of Friends Who Do Justice together. I am so excited about these kiddos and this villain.
It's good. It's a good time.
It is. And we don't have to name it. And I mean, technically, we don't even have to figure out what we're doing next time.
Well, I mean, you can't really top League of Friends Who Do Justice together.
You can't because it's not the name. Hey, you know what we're doing next year?
Conclave.
Yeah, next year? Conclave. We're gonna figure out a name. No, we already did. That's right.
Yeah, it's Conclave.
Yeah. This is very good. Next month, we're doing my helmed ongoing universe, the space opera Pulp Heroes.
Nice.
Got to re-listen to that one in a month.
Yeah, anybody who remembers that one, because Lord knows the three of us sure don't.
I remember there being a shadow government.
Yes, there was. It was very good. We'll also remember that all three of us were very sick, tired boys that day, so we're going to have to probably retread some ground.
Oh, no.
But that's fine. We're going to get to that, and then after that, we're on to Greek mythology, and then year three starts.
Ooh, hot dang.
And with year three is going to come some exciting new changes that we'll get into later.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, very exciting.
I guess until next month, I've been Matt.
I've been Jake.
And I've been Alan.
And that's the end of the show. That's how
and
it
you've
ends.
Been
that's it.
You've been rebooted. You've been rebooted.
Good night.
You can find us on Twitter at RebootCast or email us hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. Alan Sells can be found at Alan_Sells on Twitter. Matt Hoadley can be found at Matt Hoadley. And Jake Mason can be found at JJ_Mason.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.
Hey everybody, welcome to Hard Reboot. Ooh, what was that?
Welcome to Hard Reboot. Welcome to Haribo Gummies presents Hard Reboot.